Jamie Hammerstein, a producer and frequent director of the musicals of his father, Oscar Hammerstein, died last week at the age of 67 of a heart attack. In his 40-year career in show business, Hammerstein directed the shows Damn Yankees, Harold Pinter's Tea Party, and Simon Gray's Wise Child, among others. After his father's death in 1960, he concentrated on revivals of the work of Rodgers and Hammerstein. In 1981, he staged the revival of Oklahoma, a 1990 production of The Sound of Music, and in 1996, the musical State Fair, which was adapted from the film. Terry spoke with Jamie Hammerstein in 1996.
Your family really has quite a theater legacy. I mean, your father, of course, was Oscar Hammerstein, the lyricist. Your grandfather was in vaudeville?
Yeah, he was a vaudeville producer. My great-uncle was an operetta producer. And my great-grandfather was Oscar I, who was an opera impresario, among other things. A real estate developer and vaudeville himself and an inventor.
So theater was the family business when you were growing up.
Yes, but you'd never know it. It was not what people imagine with Judy Garland running in with a tennis racket. I mean, it just wasn't. It seemed like, well, you know, it's the only life I had as a kid, so it seemed perfectly normal to me. And my father wrote in his study and for many hours every day, and he'd come out having, I'm sure, sweated bullets all day. And he would come out and go, who's winning the baseball game? Or do you want a game of tennis? Or, you know, and you'd never guess he'd been working for 8 hours trying to find a rhyme for Surrey, you know?
Well, did he walk around the house going, Surrey, scurry, Surrey, scurry?
No, he locked himself in, or he walked in down we had a long yard where he would also pace. And we also, for one of his mother, built him a walk-around porch from his study so that nice weather, or even reasonable weather, he could take a walk by opening his study door. He always worked walking, and he was inaudible. I know he worked terribly hard, and I know he was a perfectionist. There's no doubt in my mind about those things, but he also could turn it off like a light and come out as one of the more normal people you've ever met.
I guess that's unusual in theater.
It's unusual with a writer,
being
I think.
Normal.
It's unreasonable. I mean, I think it's unreasonable. Yeah, I think it's almost supernatural myself.
Your father was Stephen Sondheim's mentor. I think it was when Sondheim's parents divorced when he was, I don't know, 10 or 11 or something, that he and his mother moved to rural Pennsylvania, or suburban Pennsylvania, where your family was living.
You got the facts right, but the order wrong. His parents had been divorced. He was living with his mother, and he came out to play with me one weekend, because he's a year and a day older than me. I know that because we shared birthdays for year in and year out. And he came out because we had just met and liked one another, and we had a good time, and instead of going off to camp, he decided to stay. He was the boy who came to dinner. He never left. Then his mother moved out to be close to us and see her son once in a while, because he literally moved in. And I think, you know, it's odd. I was thinking last night about that and how much Steve owes my father, though I think he would be pretty much of a great writer if my father had not taken him in. But also my mother. I think that both my parents were kind of adopted by Steve and vice versa. And he was like another brother, I suppose.
How did you feel about him moving in?
I don't know. He didn't bother me that much. We had a good time. You know, we fought like brothers fight, but we didn't... I don't think I felt any great jealousy. My father had a strangely objective form of love, which sounds like an impossibility. And so it never became like a favoritism or... No, it just didn't happen. As far as I know, maybe I should go to a psychiatrist and find out what really happened.
Well, how old were you when your father became partners with Richard Rodgers?
I was about 11.
So what do you know about the story of how he started to work with Richard Rodgers?
Well, Dick was approached by the Theater Guild to make a musical out of Green Grow the Lilacs. And he went to Larry Hart. And Larry Hart said, I'm not interested. And Dick still thought he could persuade Larry and went to Dad just in case. and said, if Larry quits on me in the middle of this, will you save me? And my father said, if Larry doesn't want to do it or quits, I will not only do it, but I'll let Larry's name stay on it, if you like. I'll just sit in the back and do the work. And then Larry actually insisted that he didn't want to do it. And so Dick went back to Dad and said, no, this is yours. And that's how it happened.
It's always been so interesting to me and probably everybody else who listens to musicals, how different your father's lyrics were than Larry Hart's lyrics.
Yeah, but I think the really interesting part about it is how different Dick's music was.
Yeah, right. No, what do you perceive of how his music changed
when
your father became a lyricist?
They're totally different people. I mean, my goodness. I mean, Larry Hart and my father were night and day in the way they looked at life. My father was an optimist. My father believed optimism was the only useful thing to be. The pessimism was just a waste of time, basically. And my father was not into writing songs. My father was into was a dramatist who was also a lyricist. And Dick is a dramatist who's also a composer. And I think Dad gave Dick the chance to be a musical dramatist. I think Larry wrote songs, and my father wrote characters and plot and everything else in his songs.
What did your father think of Larry Hart's lyrics?
Oh, he loved most of them. I mean, I think Larry Hart... See, my father never had a great facility for strange and wonderful rhymes. Larry Hart did. So it's like there's no competition involved. My father could never write like Larry Hart. And my father, not being a fancy rhymer, just wrote very honestly and very easy to sing lyrics. But they were... I think he spent his time saying exactly what he wanted to say dramatically in what I think is the most difficult dramatic form you can write in, which is lyrics. You have to make things come out metrically. You've got to have rhymes, the right kind of rhymes, not too many of them if it's a serious song. If it's a light song, maybe triple rhymes, inside rhymes. It is something which takes years to master, and I think my father mastered it, and he just trying to say what you want to say in that form is deadly difficult. You can get so seduced by a very clever rhyme. You can get so seduced by an easy rhyme. And it just takes a little bit of the edge of what you're really trying to say, and it goes on some tangent, which isn't too far off. So let's take that tangent and get it over with and go have a drink. And my father would never do it. He'd keep on... He'd just throw out more and more lyrics till he was saying what he wanted to say, and somehow it rhymed and was singable.
Jamie Hammerstein in a 1996 interview with Terry. He died last week at the age of 67. Let's hear Oh, What a Beautiful Morning from Rodgers and Hammerstein's Oklahoma.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day.
I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way.
Music, all the sounds of the earth are like music.
The breeze is so busy, don't miss a tree. An old weeping willow is laughing at me. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day.
This is Fresh Air.